Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 434. Terry Miller, the disc golf guy, alongside Johnny V.
I told somebody just the other day in an email, a message to a bunch of some of our Patreon supporters, just notifying them of some of the Patreon changes that were going on. I said, we're 433 in, and I think I only have 500 or 600 more in me. So,
yeah.
Well, and at that point, I'm calling it quits.
Wow, man. I can't wait for your retirement.
Me too.
What will I do after that?
I don't know. Probably suffer and have tech support issues. That's my guess.
That's true. Well, there's going to be an official retainer that you're going to have to be on. Oh, I'll tell you.
You're still going to come to my house on Tuesday nights.
Yeah, and I mean, I'll be in the basement, I need a setup. We're going to make it work. Well, welcome in, everyone. Again, 434. Tonight, special guest. He's going to be joining us in just a few moments.
I heard he's going to give us all the inside scoop on the new players coming to Discraft. He's naming names, social security numbers, payments,
contract details.
He's
yes.
giving it all up tonight.
Yeah, he's going to give it all to us. And that, of course, is Paul Uliberry. He's going to be joining us in just a few moments. I think besides all of the juicy deets, he's going to spill the tea, as the kids say. He's also going to talk about a few things he has going on. But we're going to get to the bottom of all these other contracts, including including the latest drops. We saw that there's going to be a new Paul McBeth, I don't know, 38-time champion disc drop or something coming out next year. All those things. We're going to talk about discs that he just dropped that are available to the world, other instructional things. So we got a lot going on. So welcome in again, December 20th, 2022. And I think without further ado, we'll get right to him.
Let's bring him in.
Paul Uliberry, everyone. What's up, buddy?
What's up, guys? Been a long time, man. Excited to chat with you guys.
It just feels, I think it's probably been 2 to 3 months since we've checked in, but it does feel like such a long time, considering for many of you that have been following us for a long time, you were a regular guest back when you had like the whole injury issue, and you'd come on all the time. You'd be our after show guest. You'd be on till 1-2 in the morning out in Arizona or Portland or wherever you decided, California, wherever you decided to live that week.
Yep. Yeah, well, I mean, then you got all big time on us. He's like, oh, I'm going to get my own house. I'm going to settle down. I'm going to be captain. So. I'm going to get big time.
I just stayed healthy-ish on my legs so I could actually go out and tour a bit more. And no, I miss you guys for sure. It's good to be back. And of course, I watch your guys' stuff all the time. I'm a big supporter, so love being back on the show.
Well,
and I was going to say, and you did really well this year at the end of the tour. It really felt like you were heating up at the wrong time. you want to start a little sooner than that, but I mean, no harm in doing it at two of the biggest events of the year, but really, time to get that motor started a little sooner next year.
Yeah, do that.
Yeah, I mean, I dealt with a pretty bad injury to the shoulder mid-year. I mean, I missed catch at like 7 straight Elite Series tournaments, which I think before that I missed 8 total in my career. So it was a tough middle of the year for sure. But, you know, came home and got some rehab on that, did some other things and was feeling good towards the end of the year. But like you said, a little too early for that. Let's take the momentum into 2023.
And let's start right there when you talk about coming home. And we've seen a lot of people, you know, shifting and or even going as far as settling down. I don't want to just say maturing. That's one minor component. But growing up, adulting, settling down, mm-hmm. planting roots, whatever, however you want to word that, you were one of the guys that kind of jumped on that philosophy. So since it's been a while, tell everybody where you're at and what it's been to get to where you are and how you decided that.
Yeah, so I'm in Rock Hill, South Carolina, which about 35 minutes from downtown Charlotte. Great location for disc golf, and that's really where, you know, I decided to make the big move. I've always liked Rock Hill, come here every year, so I was familiar with it. And then Charlotte being right there, you know, property was cheaper, and so houses were cheaper. I could get a little land with the property, and I mean, it's a perfect place, man. Lots of disc golf everywhere. Pretty good weather. I mean, I'm pretty spoiled being from Arizona with that. You know, you go out there for like Maricopa and stuff. It's beautiful, but pretty good weather year round. You can play and practice all the time. So, yeah, I've been in this house for just over a year on the 15th.
Yeah, and a lot of people. Well, first of all, anytime you go to Charlotte, you know, whether it's you're on the train or the trolley coming in or whatever, you always hear people talking about it. It's one of the fastest growing cities, one of the fastest growing large cities. Yeah. And I think that's exciting to some degree. And then I think about, well, what's nearby? Where else do you want to be if you don't want to be in the, we'll say, hustle and bustle of a Charlotte? So did Rock Hill just jump out at you as the obvious choice, or were you just saying, hey, I want to be in the Charlotte metro area, and Rock Hill just happened to be where you landed?
I would have preferred probably to be in Charlotte, honestly, but to get land there, you know, I got 2 acres here with a decent size house, and for the same amount, I would have gotten a lot with, you know, a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. I got 4 bedrooms here with a garage and, you know, a little area to where I can throw my discs, have the dogs run out in the yard and play and stuff. So, I mean, you know, to get all that extra for a 35-minute drive to, you know, go to work when I do my lessons and stuff in Charlotte or play tournaments or whatever was well worth it.
Now, I know this is kind of an unplanned side tangent real quick, but one of the last times we were talking to both you and your brother, we were talking about your gracious mother and family that had the devastation of the fire back at their house or your old house in Arizona. Any quick updates as to how that's going, what the kind of the game plan is, how Pat and the rest of the crew are doing?
Yeah, I mean, I just came from Thanksgiving and like a month ago, and we stayed on the new, so they built 2 studios right now, and they plan on building more, but they have two studios that they live in now. So we got one of the guest studios. So they're rebuilding. I mean, it's a process for sure, but the I mean, if you had ever been to their house before, it was beautiful. These 2 studios that they have now are absolutely gorgeous. And, yeah, they're doing good. So for the people who helped out, I mean, that went a long ways and will forever be indebted to them for sure.
Yeah, I know, you know, all part of that just completely resetting. You know, I remember seeing and talking to your mom and then seeing, you know, the videos of, you know, just the absolute destruction and everything and having to essentially start over, as you're saying. I can't fathom, but here we are. And as you would expect, your mom and the rest of the crew all rising and coming out on top, which is exactly what we would expect.
My mom's the reason I'm on here. She asks every week, are you going to be on Smash tonight? Just wondering. I mean, every week. So I was talking to her this last week and she mentioned it again. And I'm like, I have to reach out to them. And so my mom's a big reason why I'm here, Pat, for sure.
Yeah. Good. And I'm hoping I'll get to see her in a couple of weeks. I'll be hopefully heading back for the Shelly Sharp and a couple of the other you know, early season here events coming up. So good to hear. Now, as Johnny was just talking about, you closing out 2022, you know, you found yourself in uncharted territory this year, and that fact that you struggled the way you did, or you had the injury to the degree you did, which led to then struggling, not cashing, taking more time off than you've ever done. Where are you right now in terms of from 0 to 100%? Where do you put your physicality at the moment?
Tough to say. I mean, I haven't been playing a lot after I think I went and I played the last big tournament that I played was in Virginia for the wraparound tournament for this year. I wanted to get Lake one of those Marshall. Silver Series things. I played great there. I felt like my game towards the end of the year is as good as it's ever been, and I was playing well, and so I feel like it's right there. I mean, I'm healthy. I mean, that's all I feel like has been the big issue with me for really the past decade is, can I stay healthy? And if I am, then, you know, I play good golf.
Well, just don't do anything dumb in the off season. You know, don't. Yeah. you got a house.
Well, last
now,
year I did do dumb stuff. Now that it's almost 2023, Discraft won't get that mad at me, but I was coyote hunting and I snapped my ankle. Coyote hunting.
Did you step in a bear trap?
No, I fell off a log.
Okay.
I fell off a log into a creek, snapped my ankle, had a minor fracture of the ankle. So going into the All-Star event, I was playing on a fractured ankle. Going in through all of Vegas, I was playing on a fractured ankle. And I think that's what ended up being the demise of the shoulders, because then I was compensating and throwing all arm. And so that got all out of whack. And so, yeah, we're not going hunting anymore. we're playing it safe this off season, let's say. And really look forward to it.
You think so?
Yeah,
until you're like, you know, mowing the lawn and you step in a rabbit hole or something dumb, and we're like, Jesus, Yuli, seriously.
Well, I have like a young soul, you know. I want to get out there and play basketball and play sports like I used to, and I've done a good job this off season of not doing any of that. Been playing more golf. And playing traditional golf as well. That's a very low impact sport, which is awesome. And so, you know, I made it a point to stay off of the coyotes. Win every time. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, have you seen the cartoons?
Tenacious.
I mean,
they are tenacious, man.
No, so the coyote always loses in the cartoons, Terry. Yeah. Roadrunner wins.
Not against me. I'm not a natural born hunter, I guess.
What is the most basic, mundane, boring, 30-something-year-old white male thing that you do? Like, what is
golf,
like?
He just said it.
Well, I know. I'm thinking around the house, or like, I mean, you take, presumably you're taking care of pretty much everything, but like, what are you, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, huh, got that done. And it was like just something you weren't thinking about as a 12-year-old or a 15-year-old. And now, like, yep, this is also just part of being an adult.
I would say mowing the lawn, but that's what I did when I was 12. So
yeah, exactly. Okay.
What do I do? I don't know. That's a great question. I'm
like emptying the leaves out of the gutter or, yeah, I mean, or raking leaves.
I hire people to do that, man.
He's smart. He's not getting on a ladder.
Yeah.
You know,
no, and, by that the way, sounds dangerous.
Leaf guard, way to go. 100%. Every time.
Okay.
Don't sweat it.
Yeah.
The house, you know, I'm fortunate enough to be engaged to like the most beautiful, wonderful woman ever. And she takes care of the house. She's amazing. And so there's not a lot for me to do. I mean, she's up on all that stuff. Of course, not outside. I do the lawn and I make sure to do the leaves and hire somebody at least. Otherwise, I'd have to do it. So, yeah. But I'm lucky in that regard. I mean, we definitely built a good life over here.
Team captain doesn't have time for that. So let's segue into the last couple of days. We've seen now the second edition of the Captain's Raptor that's been released via our friends over at Discraft, of course. Break down some of the changes, what people should expect. How did it come about to have it changed up from last year's version?
Yeah, so I mean, just feedback from the fans and you know, the top pros that use it. I mean, it was a big hit last year. You know, Macbeth bags it, Dickerson, all of the elite players love the disc, and so we just wanted to make it into a different plastic for a different feel. We also made it a little bit more domey, so it's going to have a little bit more glide. It's still just as stable, just has a little bit more glide, so you'll be able to fit that, like, you know, right next to it, maybe for a longer flex shot or something. But yeah, no, Discraft knocked it out of the park again. I mean, I get tagged in a couple hundred posts a day of people finally getting them in their hands and out there throwing. I've seen like four or five people ace with it, which is awesome. And so people are loving it, man. I'm stoked.
And for the foreseeable future, do we expect to see kind of that limited release each year? Is that something that you guys had arranged?
Yeah. So in my contract, you know, I signed a 5-year contract extension with them, and they give me that disc every year to release it one time a year. And however many we sell in that, you know, it's unlimited. So if we sell 200,000, we sell 200,000. If we sell 10,000, we sell 10,000. And so it's a good way to, you know, for me to market, you know, the crap out of it all year and hopefully have those top pros keep throwing it. And then, you know, hopefully we'll gain traction and that will be one of the more popular discs moving forward, which right now it seems to be trending in that direction.
I really like that that methodology of, you know, you want it, you buy it, you get it, period.
Yeah.
And then that's how many they make and you're done for the year. Mm-hmm. Just to the fact that we're not going to see, you know, in, we'll say, September or July, suddenly like, oh, here's, we found 1,000 more Captain's Raptors or whatever. I really do like that. If you want it, you can get it. And that's the way it works. It's, we went through too many years of slim pickings for golf discs over the last 2 or 3 that I really, it helps eliminate a lot of the scalping. It helps eliminate a lot. Just get it, man. Just buy one.
Yep.
Yeah, and I'll be the first to admit, and I've said this in a few other places, that I kind of slept on it this year, but then I remembered, oh, no, I didn't last year. So here's my official public plea to everyone out there. I am willing to trade some from last year for somebody that might have too many from this year. If somehow you still have any in stock, I see Daddy Disc Golf out here on the board says he stocked up with quite a few. So if there's somebody that's interested, I don't know what values look like right now, but if there's somebody that's interested, I have good trade bait because I bought a lot of them last year. I mean, a lot. Like I think I should get a spare room in your house.
Make it the bathroom.
Yeah, I think I got a lot of them last year. So I'm happy to, you know, pay for your landscaping for the year or whatever I did with that purchase.
Yeah, but last year was crazy because it was the first time they really ever opened an unlimited amount. And at the time, I believe retailers were getting like whatever your deal was. Like you can only get 50 or whatever because they weren't making enough discs. And so once they opened it up to, oh, I can buy a certain disc and I can buy as many as I want, a lot of people went and bought a lot. So there's a lot of that first run Captain's Raptor out there, which is awesome because, you know, people like that first run. And so at least I know that they'll be able to find it for a while.
Yeah, well, and that's just it. Is a first run will always, for whatever reason, whether it is due to flight or design or colors or whatever the combination is, the first run always like keep a special place in people's hearts no matter what. So I know I've got some good trade bait there, and I could swap out some of this year's for last year's if some people are up for it. All right, so that all went down in the last couple of days. Of course, like you said, you've been seeing the tags, a lot of people talking about it, and the discs are out there moving around. Did I also see another post of another big project you're working on? Is that what I saw?
Yeah, so we just launched the Power Disc Golf Academy, which is partnering with my friend David, who is a business guy. He does a lot of like...
entrepreneur podcast stuff.
Like what's that,
entrepreneuring stuff, I think I heard something like that.
Yeah And so he's in charge of well, he's got a lot of students, so he can train like people how to do podcasts or whatever. So he's got a lot of students across the country, so he has good ties with a lot of good videography, and so perfect guy to team up with. This has been something that I've wanted to do for a long time, is to get like an online tutorial class going. You know, I started the Institute, which is in-person stuff, and I have my brother on there and Dan Hastings and a few people scattered across the country to where, you know, that's a website people can go on and book an hour lesson or a 2-hour lesson with those guys and myself when my schedule allows it. But because my schedule is so tough, you know, it's been hard for me to put in that time. A couple of years ago, I was able to do like 40 lessons in the off season, and then this one came. And I've just been so strapped with time. So we did our pre-release a couple days ago. And that pre-release is $50 until December 31st. And so you can get in the door. After that, it's going to go up to $200. Now, this is just basically you'll have a lifetime access for $50 to all these videos that we're doing. And I'm talking about like the highest quality tutorial stuff that you'll see, which I'm lucky to be involved with because he has all the those connections. And I'm flying to Austin in January to film them all. And we plan on filming close to 100 videos with all across the map with form stuff, breaking down forms, drills, I mean, how my mind works, mental stuff, all the way down from A to Z. So big project, but we knocked it out of the park with the pre-release. We got a lot of support, which was awesome. And now, you know, I look forward to filming all this content.
And I'm assuming that this is something that you're probably going to keep up on, right? Like every off season, go out and knock them out. So, you know, when I get through all the 100 level classes, I can get to Yuli 200, you know, and,
exactly.
And move on from there. That's great.
Yeah, I just really, there's a lot of free stuff online, and I realize that there's a lot of YouTube stuff. In my opinion, it's not visually appealing, and I wanted to give something that somebody could go on and all the breakdowns, and it's the best camera work that you got. You know, it's basically like post-production versus live right now is pretty good, and live's catching up, but there's so much information. I wanted to give a little structure as well, to where we can start you from the beginning and then have lessons all the way up to, you know, the highest levels of, you know, even if you're just stepping into the, like the pro field, there'll be stuff for you on there as well.
So a couple of years ago, right here on the show, I believe we had Will Schusterick, and he had some very similar plans. And we've also, and even prior to that, of course, we've seen like Deep in the Game with Avery Jenkins and Dismania. Uh-huh. Scott Stokely has done a number of different things back on VHS, folks, for those of you that know what a VHS tape is.
I think they got released on DVD at one point.
I think they did too. But so we've seen some of those. And then more recently was Will Schusterick as he came out with Disc Golf Instruction. And it's, I don't want to say it sounded eerily similar, but obviously it sounded somewhat similar in getting a great production crew. There was a lot of excitement around it. And we know that Will has now taken on a different role, not only with Prodigy, but then obviously had
fatherhood.
The addition to his family and fatherhood and some, you know, very serious complications with that. But I think that's maybe even to what Johnny was asking is it, we often see, and this is generically speaking, we often see these really great ideas, but sometimes they fizzle. And I guess I ask, like, how can you challenge yourself to make sure that you're staying up with it to providing that content? Because you're going to only get busier and more successful. Staying on top of this is going to be not only a huge feat, but it's also going to be tough to probably stay motivated for it or not. I mean, how do you plan to stay on top of it?
Yeah, so I feel like the big difference with this is, you know, with like what Will Schusterick did, he was doing a lot of form breakdowns. That takes a lot of time to where people are sending in their videos and then he's coaching them.
Okay.
That's not what I'm trying to do here. I'm trying to do that prior, right? And have a bunch of videos breaking down what normally would happen, you know, like finding a lot of flaws that I see that amateurs do and a lot of maybe mental things that amateurs do. And then also explaining it down to a T, breaking down form, you know, good form and bad form, comparing them and then giving a product like that so that I'm not having to, you know, have you send in and having 500 people send me a form thing and be like, hey, help me out. You know, what the goal is to cover that stuff in those videos beforehand. And so, like you said, what if it fizzled out? That information will be there forever. Mm-hmm. Right. And if somebody can get in there for the price of two discs right now, and then I help them improve two strokes, I mean, I feel like that's worth it. You know what I mean?
I think that they're going to get those two discs back in tournament winnings.
They won't lose two discs, and that's like winning two.
I mean, that's almost double.
By simply not losing them because you're throwing better shots.
I mean, if you need some stand-ins for bad form, Terry and I will fly down to Austin. Just watch laugh at these guys here.
So does that kind of answer your question? I'm not trying to take on like this crazy project. What I'm trying to do is provide a great tutorial program that is already filmed that you can go through and watch. And then I don't have to break down your form. Hopefully I do it in a way that you're able to help yourself by watching this, you know. And there's a lot of this isn't like first time this is done. This is in every single sport. If you want to learn how to golf, there's thousands of videos you can pay for to do this, you know, at high levels, or basketball, even like we just saw a few years ago. I was watching TV and Steph Curry had his shooting technique.
Yeah, his masterclass.
Sure, a lot of those. But
Fred McGriff taught me how to play baseball. I was throwing baseballs into trash cans.
Exactly. And did he come up with three new videos at each season?
He was before the internet.
Yeah, I know. That's a really old joke for a lot of old people. No, but I mean, I didn't get it. That's fine. You're not quite as old as us. But no, I mean, I think that's great because you're right. The form reviews take a lot of time. And it's constant and consistent, and every form is a little different. So you really need to get into it. If you can create a structural system or a classwork that someone can follow and get to a certain point or improve it, and then you've got a year to go through all 100 or whatever, how many other videos you guys make, you can come back the next year after taking any sort of opinions if for people that follow the class that they can email you and be like, hey, I'd really love to know, you know, I'd love to know how you throw grenades, thumbers, forehand, whatever you want to go, that you can work in the on season on creating additional content to come out for the next year. I like the idea that it's not a constant, that your time isn't constantly, we'll say, attacked by a lot of people, and that you can really take it chunks at a time.
Yeah. And I mean, there's going to be times where I get on and onto our website, and then we have people on and I can break down forms for them right there. But that's just going to be a perk. That's not going to be an obligation for me. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
And I also want to keep doing in-person lessons. I love in-person lessons as well. Like, that's one of my favorite things. So, I feel like this is just a good compliment to, you know, the Institute that we already started. And now we have like an online program that people can get on, especially when I don't have time. I think it's a win-win.
Yeah, real quick, while we continue to break it down, where can we find this? I want to put a link out there. I wanted to sign up, and I can't find the sign up. Where am I finding this?
PowerDGA.com.
PowerDGA.com.
Yep.
There you go.
All right. Learn to master the art of disc golf from one of the best to ever play the game.
I didn't write that.
I was going to make a joke. I was going to you got Macbeth on here?
Ouch. Oh, harsh.
I didn't write it.
All right. I'm going to get started. How do I get on board with this? I want to quickly follow this
up. I was just going to ask if there's multiple levels. Is it just a one?
I'm going to find out, mofo.
Is it instructional? Is it just $50 and you
so
get
this is a thing? No. You sign up now, you get nothing until February. And that's why it's $50.
I want to deal on Captain Raptors.
After that, it's going to be $200 a year.
Okay.
So we're doing the pre-release. I'm flying it there in January, filming all the content, and then we're releasing it hopefully in February.
Whoa. Before I put this money in here, clarify again. So you just said it's $49.99, right?
Yep.
Or $50. That's a lifetime membership, right? Is that what you're saying, or is that annual?
Yep. That's a lifetime membership.
Oh my
that
gosh.
Is forever.
And then if you don't get in at the $50, it's then going to be $200 a year, you said?
Yep.
All right.
You better get my money here in a minute.
Enter your six-digit code. Terry, what's your six-digit code?
You just want me to send you some of those Raptors. That's what's going on.
No.
He's literally paying. He's getting into his PayPal right now.
Oh, I'm going to give you my money. I can't wait. Oh, my gosh.
What prompted this, Yuli? I know you and I have talked for years a little bit off and on about doing some of the things. Like, what? Why now? What's the impetus?
What's the impetus? Why now? Yeah. I mean, like I said, we started the Institute, which is, you know, my plan with that is to have coaches from all over the country on there and just have a hub to where if somebody wants to sign up for a lesson, they can go there. And then I want to have online presence as well. To where, you know, I do a lot of stuff on my YouTube for free with Down the Fairways, but that's filming my phone. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to give a good product out there to the people. And so I just feel like it's a perfect marriage for online to go with the Institute because coaching is what I love. It's what I want to do after I'm done playing. You know, I have hopes to be able to coach world champions someday. Like, I really feel like that's something that the sport's missing. In every sport, people have coaches. In disc golf, we have ourselves and that's it. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I give this example all the time. If, let's say, Paul McBeth, if I went on the road with Paul McBeth and it was my sole purpose to make Paul McBeth better, I know for a fact I would. And it's not because I'm going to give them all this information of skill and this, but to have somebody keep you honest in your practice, to have somebody who makes sure you go to the gym, to have somebody who makes sure you're eating right. That's what a lot of those coaches do. Some of those people, they're so good, they don't have to do much. You know what I mean? You think there was a lot of people coaching Michael Jordan? Like, he did it his own way. But making sure that he was in the gym, maybe he was one of those people who was like, no, I'm going every day, and he kept himself accountable. But most kids, especially kids, they might have a lot of talent, but they don't keep themselves accountable because there's a lot of fun things to do out there. You know what I mean? And so I really feel like that's one of the things that is missing right now is there's no coaches.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing, like you said, there's a very small subset of people that are diving into this more and more frequently. And, you know, I know even to this day, obviously, Scott Stokely being one of them, yourself, Dan uh-huh. Hastings, and this small collection, I think Philip Bartholomew works with Stokely Scott. As well. I know he's in that kind of in that general area. It feels like that's where we're seeing, but that's still... when you think of the people that are out there most frequently, now obviously you always have your course pros, and you could walk up to Philo just about anywhere, and he's going to give you, you know, a quick pointer or tip, and he offers some lessons as well. But
yeah.
we don't have a lot of people that are solely focused or really really honed in on that one specific component of our game, which is, you know, is just the overall coaching of it. So. Yeah, I love it. Well, I am signed up, Yuli. I don't know if I'm member number one, but it says you're in. Click the button to get started. I don't see any videos. I'm a little disappointed, but I'm officially in. And if I'm not a world champ, like I'll even say Masters world champ, I'll be realistic. If I'm not a Masters world champ in like 2 years, I might come after you for a refund.
Technically, you are a global.
Hey, man, that gets you access to our Facebook page, too. We just got done doing a huge giveaway today, so you barely missed it. But we're doing, I think, 5 or 6 giveaways for a stack of discs, and a couple of those are the Raptors you're looking for, so make sure you get in there. Put your name in. There's some great chats going on already, some good interaction. Gosh. I just did a live on that Facebook group a couple days ago, and so the only way you get in is by... being a member of the Academy.
Well, I am a member. So, okay. So you were also, yeah, of course. If I recall, I signed up for Will's as well. You know, and
I did too.
I love the idea of supporting, you know, what you guys are doing. I love the idea. Obviously, if you're frugal like me, you get in now so that you forever have access to it. That I think that sounds like a good deal as well. So that sounds exciting.
It really is a good deal, man.
Speaking of your YouTube and some of your content, did I see what are you putting out? I mean, obviously Vlogmas and more frequent postings come as a part of the off-season routine for our players.
Sure.
Yourself, Casey White, Simon, not so much this year, Eagle, not so much this year, but in general, we're seeing a lot of our players ramp it up with off-season content. What's been your game plan and how long is that going to go for?
So one of the things was my YouTube channel went dead for about 5 months. My mm-hmm. editor had some stuff go on, so I didn't have an editor. I don't edit. Don't know how, really. You know, I did a little bit when I first started, but I found an editor kind of right away. Mm-hmm. So I have to do it all myself. So I was really mad that the YouTube channel, I left it neglected for that long. And I felt like Vlogmas was a perfect time to get it reamped again. And so that's kind of why I got in on it, is to put a lot of content out there kind of right away since I didn't have any. Vlogmas has been a nightmare, honestly. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work, isn't
it? It's a lot of work.
Are you committed to daily? Like a daily Vlogmas?
Yeah. No, okay. I posted everything every day after this. You know, I just got back from Putting League and I filmed a little vlog, probably my worst one. So
Oh, okay.
This is not a
forward to that.
To go check it out.
Man, you're really selling it.
Yeah, but I have some good stuff on there. I mean, I got anything from doubles rounds to Ezra Aderholt came to Charlotte for a little bit, and he really helped me out with it to where we got a lot of content out there. So I really want to shout out him for being awesome and doing that for me, because without him, I mean, it would have been even worse. And then, you know, I also wanted to get some of my daily life, what I do. So that there's one episode of me playing Fortnite on there, going to the golf course, just hanging out with buddies, doing some stuff in my game room. So there's a good variety on there for Vlogmas for sure, but please don't watch the one tonight. It's going to be bad.
Watch it and comment it, everybody. Let it know how great it is.
Yes. Top level stuff. Now, I think someone posted earlier saying, that you might've been their doubles partner for the putting league or competition tonight.
Yes, Aaron.
And you're home already? Is that a good or a bad sign that you're already
bad sign?
Okay.
Listen.
You can blame Aaron.
Charlotte's got a lot of good putters, man. Charlotte's got a lot of good putters. We went 3-2, but tonight it was crazy because there was 102 people at putting league. 102. And that's a lot.
Is that random draw putting partners then?
Yeah.
And I was at one probably 4 or 5 years ago because it was right around the time of USDGC. Was it at one of the breweries with a couple food carts?
Yeah, Lenny Boy Brewery is the name of it.
Okay. And is that the one it's been at for a few years now, or is it shifted around?
I think it's the only one. I don't want to say it's the only. I'm pretty sure it's been there every year.
Okay.
I want to say
102 people, and I know there's going to be a vlog for this, but 102 people, like, what is that? Just describe, because some people are like, hey, we can't get more than 9 people at our local putting league.
It's crazy. I mean, it's an awesome experience. There's just disc golfers everywhere, 102 of them. They run a great league. I mean, they have it down to a tee to where they have a big monitor. They have all your opponents up there on a big monitor to where you can know exactly when you're supposed to go. They have, I mean, a bunch. How many stations do they? I have no idea how many stations, but they get through it and you're done. Typically, Jerm told me this because I'm like, hey, Jerm, I'm not coming if I can't get out of there by 9. And he's like, oh, you'll be done by 9. 102 people. I guarantee they're still playing. So well, I was lucky that I got out of there.
I was just going to say, we appreciate you not performing your best so that you could be here on the show. And that's really what you were doing. It might have been at Aaron's apparel but you're here. So we appreciate that.
Aaron made the winning putt twice. So we went 3-2. You had to go 4-1. So it was a tough night to just get into a playoff to go to, I think the top 8 teams move on. And so you had to go 4-1 to just get in a playoff to get 8th or something like that. So there was a lot of 5-0 teams. And so it works like this. You putt 1. If you make it, that's 1 point. If you make 2, that's 3 points, and you play to 11. Mm. It's kind of like horseshoes. Your partner's over there. You're here. You're going against the guy. And then you just do that until 11, and you're done. But awesome atmosphere. I mean, they got a bunch of people running this show, and they do an amazing job. Plus, it's at a brewery, so you got food. You got drinks, of course, so people are just having a good time talking disc. I mean, it was wild tonight. Plus, they had a gift exchange. So I went there. I didn't have my gift wrapped, of course, so I had to go over there and wrap it up. I was telling the guy, I'm like, my mom's going to kill me if she ever sees this wrapping job, because it was, you know, it was one of those bad folds, and then just put it out there. But so they're doing good stuff, man.
Yeah, and that's all the Charlotte Club, right? Or is that okay, that's what I thought. I just
like think about how big the scene is here. If you got 102 people showing up for a putting league, I mean, that's bananas.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. Again, I was there a few years ago. It was extra big due to the USDGC, you know, influx. Yep. But it's such an awesome atmosphere, and it really, you know, and that was pre-COVID, and it really, you know, just kind of drove home the point to the rest of, I think, a lot of people of like, hey, come winter months in some of these less than amazing places like Wisconsin, come winter months, like find a bar, find a bowling alley, find a place. Yeah. It might not be an open air brewery, but find somewhere. that's got a little bit of space and host a putting league of sorts. And I know Marksman, you know, with Dynamic Discs has really jumped into being a specific style of league. That's a great opportunity as well. There, and we've had a few in Milwaukee. It's pretty awesome.
Is there going to be one in Milwaukee this year? I haven't heard anything.
I know starting in just a few weeks, MIDI, who I'm wearing their shirt, they're doing a Sunday night league. It's kind of their own format, but it's at Broken Bat right by your work.
Perfect. Cross the street from my work.
Yeah, every Sunday, I think for like 8 or 10 weeks from 3 to 6. So again, a different style, but you're indoors. It can be where it's 18 degrees like it is right now and come on indoors to a bar, and they've got a really great setup here in the Milwaukee area. So that's just one of many that's going on. So
wow. Putting leagues are awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's I feel like there is, well, of course, everyone goes into it with a different agenda, but I feel like they can be just as much social as they can be truly helpful to your game. Either way, you're putting under a little bit of pressure, and it forces you to get out every week and do something with your discs when, you know, in a place like Wisconsin, you may otherwise kind of steer away from going outside and playing if you're not a big winter golfer. This gives you like that thing to look forward to.
Oh, absolutely. When I was injured with the torn ACL, we had a nice putting league in Seattle, and it was, I looked forward to it every week because it was the only thing I could do, you know, to compete was putting league, and it was an absolute blast. I'll never forget that, but they do a great job over there, man. Super stoked for them.
Yeah, the no shock. We of course, with the Disc Golf Pro Tour wrapping up in Charlotte these last few years for the Tour Championship, and then all the conversation that goes about, and that's kind of how I started this conversation, is about where you landed, where you decided you wanted to set up and or settle down, and how Charlotte and the Charlotte area, it feels like it's on every disc golfer's list to at least go check out. Right now, are there other golfers that have, I mean, obviously Big Germ had his roots there and such, but is there other golfers that are still contemplating? Wasn't Kevin Jones at one point looking in that area? I know Paige
Kevin
did at one point,
Kevin
right?
Kevin lives in Charlotte. Yeah.
Okay.
He bought a house.
So,
a lot of good golfers here.
Haley King settled down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot of good golfers here. I mean, it's a place to be. And, you know, it was cool because this last Sunday, you know, there was a Pittsburgh Steelers game that came to town. And that's why I had to wear the jersey to the putting league, because it was like a small flex, you know.
Yeah.
So I had a lot of angry putters. That's why I lost. They dug deep.
I mean, I guess that can play either way. You either you know, put them into a little tizzy, baby, or yeah. Well, we can't let you go without talking about your captain's duties, your team manager duty, whatever you're doing these days, because it is that season. We're seeing players that are dropping their current sponsors or being dropped, depending on who you ask and who you talk to. What's on the agenda for Discraft? Like, how, and I guess
things,
I'll start
big like, things. Mind-blowing things, man.
I'll start with you. How much involvement do you have with it? Like, are you out there, quote unquote, recruiting? Are you out there talking them up? Are you how much does Bob do versus what you do? Like, what are the, you know, difference
so,
in roles?
So Bob's the manager. So he's a team manager. He does all that stuff. I'm the captain. So unfortunately, if, you know, we're moving in different directions, I'm the guy who gives that call. So Bob, like, makes me do the dirty work. You know what I mean? No. I do some recruiting for sure, which I love doing. I mean, Discraft is so amazing. I want all my close friends to be on the team. I mean, they've treated me so well that if you do, if you are a great player, this is the company to be. I truly believe that, because it's not just given, you earn it and then you'll see the rewards. You know what I mean? They, for example, like when I left Prodigy, I said, hey, I don't want a different contract from you guys. I want the same thing I was getting from Prodigy for the past 6 years. I got the same thing. And I said, I want the same thing. I don't want anything else. Sign me to a 3-year contract. I'll be the team captain. But after that 3 years, if I work my butt off, I want a good contract, you know, because I kind of felt like the sport was getting there. And so for 3 more years, I made the same thing that I made when I went from Prodigy. And sure enough, they were the first people to hook it up, and they gave me a great contract. So I know from personal experience, you go there and you put in work, and you put in positive work, you get rewarded. And that's what I want for my friends.
And speaking to just that, what advice do you give others? Because I'm sure some people are teetering, and we're seeing people leave companies. We're seeing a few people get picked up and so on and so forth. But what advice, would you either give generically or to anyone specifically when they're looking at either different companies to go to or what they should be looking for in a sponsor? What are some of the things that you usually would say to someone in that position?
I mean, I feel like it's pretty easy. My point is, if you're lazy, then go to someone who's just going to pay you now. But if you want to work hard, there's a future, you know, there's a big future. And I'm not saying that's not with every company, because that is with every single company as well. Mm-hmm. But I've had the personal experience of watching it happen for me and other players at Discraft. And so that's what I say. I say, bet on yourself. You know, that's the biggest thing. Like, sure, you might not make a lot maybe the first year, but if you prove that you're worth it and that you can push product with your brand and you can learn to brand yourself, be a great representative of the sport, play well, you know, there's a big time career waiting for you.
Whether it's with Discraft or the other manufacturers, you've got your you've got your ear on the train tracks. You know what's going on.
Sure.
Are you seeing any sort of trends in sponsorship these days? Like, I feel like we kind of are maybe past the ginormous contract period of our sport. At least maybe we've peaked a little bit and we're coming down. Are you seeing any other sort of trends coming? Are we starting to shed mid-level players? I mean, are those big contracts coming to roost for some of the manufacturers? Like, what do you see as the future of sponsorship right now? I mean, do we have mid-level players that should be sponsored?
That's a great question. I feel like yes, in a way, but the sport has to move in that direction at some point. You're going to have like underground team. I feel like is super important to have that, you know, and that's you look in traditional golf and they have that, you know, they have a lower tier of sponsorship, but the top guys in the world, there's going to be so many of them very soon. And so how are you going to be able to, you know, keep giving these big contracts out? Well, I feel like the answer is simple. Can that player put their name on a disc and sell a million of them? Because then it's worth it, right? Or sell however much money they need to accumulate that $1 million contract. Is that player worth it? That's really what it comes down to, you know? And so as long as the supplier has the product to put somebody's name on, and then they can make the money back and make them, you know, obviously the company wants to make money, then it's a win-win situation. And that's another reason why I feel like a lot of people have a tough time with the social media aspect and stuff. Well, guess what? If you're not a world champion and you're not like Ricky Wysocki and Paul McBeth winning multiple world titles in all the elite series, how are you going to be able to go to a company and say, I'm worth $1 million? You're not. But if you can prove that you put your stamp on something and they sell that product just the same as they sell Paul's or Ricky, which isn't possible right now in the sport. But if you can do that, there is a pathway to that, you know?
Have you been surprised by any either additions or drops or anything that you've been seeing in this offseason? At any point have you saw a player make an announcement one way or another and you're like, huh, I didn't see that coming, or wow, that's crazy? Has there been any of those for you?
Not really. I mean, at this point, we saw a lot of moving and shaking last year, you know, with a lot of players. And I think that's just going to be the way that it is moving forward. There's going to be people moving here, moving there. People are looking for the dollar bill, man. And when this, you know, if they can leave some place and go get it somewhere else, then that's what they're going to do. I mean, as an independent contractor, that's an obligation to yourself, you know?
Do you feel now, and I think you're in a really unique position for this question, do you feel, knowing that you represent and talk to Discraft in the way you do as a captain, but then also you as a player, do you feel that players are asking too much or that sponsors aren't giving out enough. So you just got done saying, what I mean by that is, yeah, you just got done saying that people have to look for that dollar. My question is, do you feel, this is very generic, this isn't just Discraft, do you feel like sponsors are still a little stingy with their dollars, or do you feel like some players are just too, I don't want to say greedy, but they're just simply asking for too much? They're overvaluing themselves. Do you feel like there's one or the other?
It's a tough question, Terry, because let's just say player A is comparing himself to Paul McBeth, okay? And player A has won a few tournaments before in like the last couple years. What's 10% of what his contract is? And then they look at themselves and they go, well, I feel like I'm that guy. I feel like I deserve that. So I feel like, of course, there's people who are overplaying their hand. Absolutely. That's always going to happen. I mean, like for myself, like I've always overplayed my hand. I've always thought that I was worth the most out of anybody. That's just my mindset, you know. But I'm also not afraid to put in the work and work hard. Now, as far as the manufacturing goes, it's going to be both sides. You know, you're going to have that same answer, I feel like, from yes, of course, there's people who are playing their hand. And yes, there's going to be sponsors who aren't willing to pay whatever that is. But on the flip side, there is proof that if you sell enough product, you can make $1 million a year. That's the peak right now in the game. And so now it's about the companies shuffling, the players shuffling to try to get something close to that, you know? And so it's the player's obligation to be like, no, I'm 10% of that. I want $100,000 a year or whatever. That I hope that's close to the 10%.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You nailed it.
You get what I'm saying though?
Yeah. You mapped it out. You're right. Okay. Yeah. I think every single time, and this includes today, we saw a couple more, in this case, FPO women leave. Immediately, understandably, the internet kind of goes ablaze, and you'll see a very divided internet. Shocking, I know. Yeah. But some will say, oh my God, so-and-so's not paying them enough. They should pay whatever they want, blah, blah, blah. You need to keep that person. That's crazy that they let him go. And then other people are saying, hey, wait a minute. You have no idea what they were asking for. You can't just ask for a blank check. They're not worth, you know, probably half as much as what they asked for. And clearly, there's only a handful of people in the world that know what the real situation is. But that's where I just wonder, because we've seen these big contracts, because there's so many things that play into it, I wonder how many players are just unrealistically knocking on Discraft or Innova or whomever, knocking on the door saying, yeah, I'd like to redo. Here's what I think I'm now worth. And I wonder how many of those are just way out of whack.
I mean, the manufacturers have the numbers. They can flat out look and say, you know, you are selling this much product.
Exactly. And that's the beautiful thing about it is, of course, they're overplaying their hand, but at the end of the day, the manufacturers can go, well, this is what you sold. Mm-hmm. Now, I only know what Discraft does. I don't know how the other teams work, but you could come into a problem where they're not making enough product for you to sell as well. And so the numbers could be skewed. I'm not sure how that works over there, but at Discraft, they make a lot of product. And so if you're selling a lot of product and it sells, the big thing is too, does it sell better with your name on it?
I was just going to say that. I feel like that's such a slippery slope because if you, and I'll be the first to admit it, I've never been shy that I'm a Comet. I love throwing a Comet. The Comet is as great of as a disc as we all know that it really is. Because we're smart golfers, we know the Comet is truly a great disc, and I'll say that till I die.
It's not hot or cool or sexy
or outselling a lot of other discs that Discraft makes. So just aligning yourself or putting your name on the wrong disc, we all know, wrong, I'll use in air quotes, but that's tough too, isn't it?
But that kind of goes into what I'm saying with you. Are you worth it to where they can put your name on that disc and you can sell product? Or do you want to bet on yourself or do you want to go the safe route? If you put Paul McBeth's name tomorrow on the Comet, how many is he going to sell? He's going to sell enough to
all
get
of them,
money back. Like
four.
All of them. You get what I mean? And that's where I feel like this is an easy answer. Can your name go on a disc and can it sell? And if it can, because you have so many fans out there and you win so many tournaments and you're on social media as much as you are, will that sell better than if it was just sitting on the shelf? And that's what the manufacturers, I feel like, are going through right now. Okay, so like I said, player B, are you going to sell more than Paul McBeth? Then you're never going to get the $1 million contract. It's that simple.
And as we know, every manufacturer is different. What you sell, I mean, let's say you sell 50,000 discs. Player A sells 50,000 discs with Discraft. Discraft looks at it and goes, okay, cool. But you go to Dynamic Discs and 50,000 might be a totally different look for them. Like, oh, you sell 50,000 discs? Amazing. We're bringing you on. And again, I'm just throwing random manufacturers. Numbers, like, I'm just making up numbers. But you know, what Discraft is looking at for a number might be different than what Clash or Lone Star or, you know, any of our other sponsors. So every manufacturer is probably a little different because we are seeing, and I think we will continue to see, some of the players who are maybe, you know, we'll call them like second tier players at a lot of the big manufacturers probably become first tier players at smaller manufacturers this offseason. I mean, we know
it's coming. Absolutely. Yeah, and like I said, as an independent contractor, that's your obligation is to go, you know, get yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can be a big fish in a smaller pond.
Yeah, I do feel like there's a lot of players out there who focus on playing. Okay, we're at a weird spot in the sport. They focus on playing, and that's it. That's great. I did that for 10 years. I didn't make a penny. It was a different generation, of course. There wasn't a lot of pennies to be made.
Yeah.
But if you cannot sell product, it doesn't matter how many tournaments you win. Then you should probably have a really good bonus structure.
Yeah, I think, and I'm going to throw his name out there. I think we kind of saw that with Kelvin for a few years. Phenomenal player, zero social media presence, and even he's seen the light by working with different social media companies. And I know he's got brand people working now to help push Kelvin. Not just the fact that he's going to win two or three Elite Series every year. Yeah. And he's going to, you know, take top fives at most of the events. If you don't have some sort of push, being a great player can only get you so far. And that might be far enough for some people. Like Innovo might look at it and be like, cool, you're a great player. We're not going to even push your social media. We want this type of player on our team versus, again, like another manufacturer that says, yeah, being a great player isn't enough for us. It's great.
Yeah, and I'm not. And I'm not saying winning doesn't bring value. That brings the most value. Winning makes you the most popular, period. That's the best thing you can do.
Being it's because good everybody is the sees best you. Thing.
Like, yes,
if you're exactly. winning, it's because you're on feature cards. You're on featured post-production. Yep. You're on the live all the time. Your face is out there, whether you like it or not. That immediately is almost as good as a decent social media presence. You're just there.
Yeah, isn't there a quote somewhere that says winning solves all problems or
something like that?
I think it's interesting that the top, let's say the top two contracts we know about, Paul and Ricky, look at their social media presence. It's amazing too. They didn't just get their money and stop doing that stuff. You get what I mean? Like it's a mindset that goes beyond that. You know, and I don't think that other people get that because not only are they the best players, but they also have some of the best social media presence in the game because they know the value of it. They know the value of the fans that they get.
And it's a little bit easier when you're making a crap ton of money to hire someone to help you with that.
Yes,
I mean,
it is
a little
easier,
chicken and egg.
It's a little chicken and egg because if, you know, we saw, again, I'll use Kelvin. Kelvin started winning money. And he can pay for a social media company. You take a smaller player like, I mean, I'm just going to throw Gannon Burr out there because he's kind of the hot thing right now. Gannon Burr probably can't afford a social media manager yet. He's probably got to rely on Prodigy's social media manager to help push him. And he can start to get that built up. But the reason why Ricky and Paul have some of the best social media is because they can dedicate. They, you know, I don't think Paul is worrying necessarily about editing videos ever. And you either. Either no. Paul. No Paul is worrying about editing videos. So it's not a Paul thing to do.
Not a Logan Paul thing either.
Yeah, I believe they all do. So I get it. Like, it's... they. But you're right. They dedicate whatever portion they can to social media. Like... you know, Paul's putting out different blogs and little things for
just
himself.
Because he's, just because he's paying for it doesn't mean that that's not work, too. Because he's,
oh, no, 100%. You
know, that's, yeah, a, that's a sacrifice in itself. He's making an, I'm saying he's making a, an effort to make sure that that's done. Because you don't have to do it. You really don't at the end of the day.
Yep.
Yeah. Update, folks. According to the Google's winning solves everything is apparently something Tiger Woods said. So if I'm thinking of, you know, I'm aligning myself with the old Tiger.
Sure. That worked out well for him.
Yeah, I suppose. Him and his, him and his terrible career.
It solved, solved everything up until a point.
Well,
it doesn't necessarily solve your social issues.
I mean, there's only so much you can do. The game of golf gets you so far.
It was cool watching him and his son get a chance to play. I can't wait till we get disc golf stuff like that.
So cool.
Honestly, right? Like, yeah, you know, it, it was.
Where's all your kids?
Yeah. Where are your kids? Iowa, Ohio.
No, come on,
Scandinavia.
Come on, no. Yuli. We need like the five more little Yulis running around.
Calm down. Calm down.
All right. Well, speaking of kids,
he's engaged now, so you got to be very quiet.
Yeah. Speaking of kids, wear a Steelers jersey and blink once if AB is coming to Discraft.
I think he's froze.
Oh, froze.
I think his video froze.
Wow. Okay. And to be fair,
I honestly don't have any of that information. Everything
I'll be
that I
asked. You're full you of can it. Lie you're, all you want.
You're full of it. Absolutely. You know what's happening. Whether it's coming
when it comes
coming
to AB, you know. Don't even try to BS us. Don't even try. Like, of all the players that have shifted or will be and are doing things, your tie to Anthony Barella and the family and Arizona and everything else, and your other teammates like Adam Hamis, who's one of AB's best friends. I could go on and on.
His protege.
Yeah. Don't even try and BS us. You can sit there with a nice straight face. That's cute. But we know what we know. So.
Which is nothing official. We're gonna look it's gonna look real dumb in about 2 weeks when it's
I'm saying he knows.
AB goes to Castoplast.
I think AB's going to Discraft, but we know he does know wherever he's going.
Yeah.
So we'll just say that.
I have no clue. I honestly don't.
Shut
talk to
up.
AB.
We should just cut him off now for lying to us.
I love AB and I wish him the best.
Where's my refund? I need to refund my institute money. This guy lies to me. I don't.
He just, did you see the rounds that he posted the last 2 weeks?
Like 1080s,
all right. I mean, is that
1100?
Like 1075 for 2 weeks?
Yeah. Is that just the middle finger to previous? I mean, hear me out for a moment.
No. That is Arizona golf. That is AB being comfortable. That is AB knowing what he's doing. He has zero pressure on him because we all know that the problem. I'm going to throw this in quotes, so don't be offended. The problem with AB is the pressure. He hasn't proven that he can get through a full lead round. Like, he always finds a way to have one bad round, and it's usually when he's on camera.
Sounds like it's an Arizona thing, honestly.
Sorry, Yuli.
I'll throw that one my way.
I mean,
that's
I'm
your
just
fault.
But I look for AB to do big thing. He's the most. And I've said this before. He
so
has the
talent.
Highest ceiling that we have in the game right now. He has the highest ceiling. Whether he reaches it, I don't know. But there is nobody who has a higher ceiling than that kid.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. I think, I just think AB, if he can get... And we have never seen him do a full year of touring either.
Like this was the closest.
This was the closest after...
Yeah, he's still doing school and
he's done
a lady
school
friend.
Now, right?
Yeah, and all that other stuff. No, I don't...
Is he done? Did he graduate or is he got another year in him?
I don't think
I'm not sure. Don't talk to him very often.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Nonetheless. So my point, what I was saying earlier, he won, I think, the last two events. Somebody else even said on the board, won the last two events in Arizona, averaged like 1080 golf, and then says, hey, you know, it's bittersweet, I'm leaving Innova. Maria Oliva recently won, I think, her last event, and then said, oh yeah, by the way, peace out, I'm leaving Innova. And this is to me nothing more than sheer coincidence, I believe, in these scenarios, but it's just kind of interesting to see a few of these see a few of these people have this big win and then have a win and then say they're done.
I mean, it's, you're right, it's coincidence. These are some of our top players. They're playing local B tier events, maybe an A tier event, where they're probably going to be the best player there. It just happens to be at the end of the year. Like, adios. Like, cool,
I
won.
He beat some good players. I mean, Drew was in the field. Drew's a damn good player.
Yeah, I 100% agree. But
he beat him by 17. So
yes, and I'll say that about AB. Like, when the pressure's, so to speak, off, when the light isn't the brightest, and he's so familiar with those courses in that area. Like, he just that he's so comfortable that when AB is comfortable, he's the most dangerous player in the world. That's how I feel. Like, he will put down or throw or roll or flick or like, when he's comfortable, all bets are off with AB. So
yeah,
get that guy a soft pillow at Discraft.
All right. So what is the next? What is the next sanctioned competitive event we're going to see out of you?
I run a tournament every year in Idaho called the Ulibarri Safari. And that'll be my first tournament of the year. So I think we're running it as a B tier this year in Boise, Idaho. And that'll be my first one. That's a couple weeks before Vegas.
Are you playing in the All-Star event this year? Do you know or not? I haven't paid much attention.
I miss cash at seven straight tournaments.
Ouch. Wasn't there like a fan vote or some crap? I don't know.
I wasn't even on the fan vote. I missed cash at seven straight tournaments.
I don't know.
He didn't make it out of the primaries, all right?
I didn't get it.
Dude, how awful would that be? I don't pay attention to that.
Johnny V is just...
I don't pay attention to that shit.
I was out putting salt on the road tonight for the snowstorm. Johnny V is just rubbing it in your eyes right now and all over your wounds. I'm sorry.
I deserve it, man.
Some people can get in on name alone, let me just say. You know, you'd be one of those guys.
Well, I did last year.
See? You know I'm saying.
So they made sure I didn't go on the ballot.
Yeah, they had lower standards last year. So
all right. And I
limp around the course with a freaking coyote foot. It was horrible.
Coyote foot.
And am I correct in saying we also didn't see you on the Shelly Sharp registration, as I think I'm looking into trying to film some of the frisbees being thrown over there. We're not gonna see you at that?
Shelly Sharp? No, I'm going to be... January's all booked up, man. I have to go do a lot of team stuff with Discraft for a couple weeks in Florida. Anthony. And then straight from there to Austin to film for the Academy. So I got a lot of lessons at the end of January. Also, the foundation is doing great things. We just got a huge sponsorship donation from Discraft. And they gave us a lot of these black midnight zones with a nice little Yuli Foundation logo on there. So if you haven't checked those out, go to the website and check it out, because I think you can donate $100, get the disc, and it goes as a donation to the foundation. We're giving away scholarships this year for kids, and we're making a nice donation to the Collegiate Nationals again, which last year we gave, I think, $8,000 to 4,000 to both the FPO and the MPO winner. So we got good things going on over at the fan. I don't want to overlook that, because that's my little baby.
Yeah, that's a huge thing for you. I mean, that was like one of your that's your foundation. That's a thing.
Yeah,
you know, you need.
Yeah, and I was just gonna say, since I put the wrong link in here, I'll put the correct link in the chat, which is yuli.foundation is where you can find it. And I just put it in the chat so people can
find it
there as well, where it has information about donating more, learning more, mailing lists, all sorts of things. All the information can be found out there right now. Take action and click on a button and stuff.
Yeah. So huge thank you to Dishcraft for donating that. That's gonna go a long ways in helping kids get through school, man.
And I know it's probably tough to decipher and or lobby for it, but right now we see multiple foundations and great causes that people can be a part of. Of course, you think of Ricky Wysocki, you think of Paul Macbeth, we think of your foundation, and then even, I'll say more generically for disc golf, you think of Uplay, you think of Edge. Those are a couple more that come to mind right off the top of my head. What does it say about our sport, maybe is a better question, when we have these options and all of these opportunities for people to support disc golf at a nonprofit level?
Yeah, I mean, it's growing. It's awesome to see. I mean, I really enjoy, you know, what Macbeth is doing over there, what Ricky's doing with his foundation, Uplay. Watching those videos, like, is freaking amazing, you know, to see what these people with Edge, what they've done for a long time with Jay and Dez. I mean, it's awesome. And how you decipher, you don't, like, which one speaks to you, which one do you want to help that one, you know? And that, I feel like that's with every foundation. A lot of people, you know, I'm on board with what Macbeth and Ricky are doing. Like, I donate to those foundations. They just did a big giveaway, gave a lot of discs to the Macbeth Foundation. We're not in competition in any way. Like, we're all out here just trying to grow the sport as best as we could and help people. And I think that's you know, the most important thing for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree.
We're in a spot where you know, I'm lucky to be in the position to where I can help.
Yeah, and I'll also throw in there another one that I've worked directly and indirectly with as well in Double G's and what he's doing in selling his jerky. And then that, you know, automatically goes right to the Double G fund. A portion of those proceeds go there as well. And so the fact that we're seeing all of these develop and grow and thrive, and I think you worded it perfectly, maybe there's one specific area that really speaks to you that you feel is best. And they all have carved out, yourself included, have all carved out a little niche in various areas within supporting disc golf. And I think that's what's really cool as well. So great to see it. The Pro Tour doesn't have a specific one, I don't think.
They've been working with Uplay all season, but they don't have their own foundation, so to speak, but they have worked a lot with Uplay, and I think they've done a little bit with the Paul Macbeth Foundation as well.
But I know they at least probably have a couple deals with them to where they can run their ads on there, which is huge as well. To be able to run those ads on you know, live disc golf is awesome. So they do a lot for sure.
Yeah, I saw some numbers, man. That advertising ain't cheap. If you're looking to advertise the Pro Tour, it's real money now. Like, honestly,
just cut me a check and I make stupid comments on the down low.
I can do that. we're going to have our check-in with Terry. Terry, how you doing on the course?
Well, I'm out here wearing my new mini sweatshirt. I love my grasshopper.
I'm thinking about going back to school, and I can do some help from the Yuli Foundation.
Back to you guys.
Yeah, he must need a lesson from the academy.
So let's, for a moment, let's switch gears into, you know, you talk about just overall presence and things that people can do.
I'm not sure how long, sorry to interrupt you, I'm not sure how long my camera's going to last. I hope it'll last for hours more. But if all of a sudden I'm gone, I still have to get the attachment that goes under there and plugs into the wall.
Yeah, we've been there, done that. We know how that goes.
It was fully charged, but if I'm just gone,
it's Smashbox. Yeah, we had go to the lights are out. That's what
we had a new camera like maybe 2 or 3 months ago, and same thing. I thought it would last for a while. I changed all the settings, and it was like right as our after show, it hit like 3 or 3.5 hours, and suddenly, boop, it just died. We're like, all right, I guess we need to get a new cord.
Yeah, you need that fancy cord to give it full power. What I was going to ask is, you know, with dipping your toes in and or head first into so many different things, should anyone expect anything different out of you and your Jomez relationship in 2023 in terms of you being at events, commentating? Is that kind of all status quo, so to speak?
No, absolutely. Yeah. I plan on playing all the Elite Series. And one of the main reasons I do that is so I can do the, you know, the whole Jomez thing.
Okay.
And so I definitely plan on doing that.
Okay.
When do you plan on cutting out Germ? Like, that's the big question everybody's asking.
I've been waiting to subscribe ever, you know, until that day.
I gotta be nice. I know I'm the first guy out. I was the replacement. I gotta play it cool, man. I know I'm the first guy out. So we'll just keep it three and everybody's happy.
You're not even gonna try to push Sexton out? You're like, dude, you're barely here. Get out of here.
That would be the worst thing you could ever do, is say anything bad about Nate Sexton. That guy is beloved by the people.
Yeah, it's in my contract. I cannot say one disparaging word, otherwise I get my mic cut. Yeah, that's as it should be. So people should expect pretty much the same in terms of your involvement. And that does bring up a great question, though, is, of course, we've seen Sexton not quite as, we'll say, on tour religiously and week in and week out like he used to be. And he kind of bops in and out, pops in and out, whatever you want to say. Do you expect more of that, I guess, the same? I mean, is it assumed it's you and Germ and then Sexton when he's there? Is that pretty much the philosophy?
Exactly. Yeah. So we're planning on it. I'm not at the controls with all of that stuff, but from what I know, I am doing the commentary. Nate's doing the commentary. Germ's doing the commentary. Same way as last year. So,
okay. You know, Chris has asked it a couple times on the board, and there's a lot of different angles or perspectives of ways that I could even phrase the question. But of course, there's been a lot of conversation about our transgender athletes. Last week, we had a very, very big talk about what the new policies are. And I don't want to just specifically attribute this question just to even Natalie as he asked it. I would ask more generically, when we're looking at the policies and procedures for transgender athletes, what would your advice, if you have any? I mean, of course, you're a team captain. You have some conversations that may or may not involve some of your players, depending on who you guys are sponsoring on any given year. Is there any overarching advice that you might have for someone that's in one of these, I don't want to call it situation, but that's in this, overall landscape or situation?
Yeah, it's tough because the landscape is changing drastically for everybody in all kinds of different ways, from the contracts, like you said, to rules changes. Mm-hmm. You know, I've stood by this, like, we all play by the rules. I don't make the rules. I expect everybody to play by them. And last year, you know, Natalie had an amazing season. She killed it under the rules, and just like everybody else, I hope, was happy for her, because she was playing by the rules that she had to play by. Now, moving forward, the rules have changed, mm-hmm. and she's obligated to play by those rules again. My advice is keep going hard, you know, do your thing, whatever that is. Keep playing. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's been a lot of years of, as you said, keep playing. It's been a lot of years of golf. We've seen, you know, with you having the longevity of your career and seeing so many different things unfold and develop and change throughout these years, thinking about, like you joked earlier, there were barely pennies to play for, and now we're talking about side hustles and side careers and institutes and charitable foundations. I also saw a stat just the other day that said you have now, officially, you have the longest bitch list in disc golf. You've officially beat, as we like to say, beat down more people than anyone else. How does that feel?
Been at it a long time, man.
Okay.
That's how it feels. That's a crazy stat, because there's nothing that comes with that except for, this dude played a lot of tournaments.
You played a lot of variety of tournaments, I think, is also a big key. And this is,
played well at them.
And you play well, so you got to play well. But you played a lot of variety of tournaments, and you played a lot of different regions. And so do a lot of other touring pros. But you just said earlier, you played or run a tournament in Idaho. We don't see, I bet you, I'd go as far as saying, I don't know if Paul McBeth ever played a tournament in Idaho. Now, he could beat people from Idaho at other events, but Paul McBeth probably hasn't played against people in Idaho. I'm just using him as one example. So it's a variety. I think it's largely a variety thing as well in terms of also playing well. Is that maybe a fair assessment?
Yeah. Well, there was another stat on that, cause I saw that Stat Mando actually posted that. And I think I'm 10 elite series behind for the most elite series played. So it's not like I'm playing C tiers all over the place, because that's what everybody comments. They're like, oh, well, sure. Yeah, that's because he played 90 C tiers. Yeah, I played 90 C tiers, but I also played 200 elite series in my career. Mm-hmm. So there's a, like you said, a big variety. I always, that was one of my favorite things about my career, is that I went all over the place. It didn't matter. I went to Idaho, like you said, the next weekend, who knows where I would be. I would just find a tournament and go play. I miss that, honestly. And a couple weeks ago, I hadn't won a tournament all year. I hadn't. This is a funny story, actually. So I hadn't won a tournament all year. And I'm like, I'm going to find a tournament that I can go win here in Charlotte. You know? And so I look, I'm like, I'm not going a season without a W. I look at the list and I see, okay, I'm signing up for this one. It was downtown and I had the highest rating by like 60 points. So the next guy I think was like 970 or something. And I'm like, or 960. And I'm like, that's the one I'm signing up for. So I sign up for it. And it's at a course that I know too. This course called the Eastway Park. Mm-hmm. And so I show up there the morning of, and I'm like, yeah, feeling good and playing well. Play the first round and I go double or bogey, bogey, double bogey to finish. Shoot like a 3 under, which is like just absolutely horrible. Like 7 under would have been fine. It would have been like right there in contention or whatever. But now I look at the scores and I was only 3 back. Luckily the field was small. I think there was like 20 something people, but the ratings were very low. So I'm 3 back and I'm like, all right, I'm 3 back. Who am I 3 back of? And the guy was 917 rated. Ooh. And so we start the tournament. Second round, and he goes, oh man, I'm kind of nervous playing with you. Like, this is my first ever pro tournament, you know? And I'm like thinking to myself, like, dude, I better win this tournament. Like, this guy's 917 rated, you know? This kid birdies 6 out of the first 7 holes and is just stomping me. Right. And of course, like, I was talking to my brother earlier this week, and I'm like, it's never easy. It's just never easy to win a tournament. And, I'm going through on the back nine and I'm like, this kid is not missing. Like, how is this possible? I'm playing a good round at this point. He's only throwing sidearms. One of them's a polecat. And he's like throwing these Anheuser Jeremy Colling polecat shots that are shaped like a backhand. And I'm just like, and he's making everything. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to lose to this guy. Like, this is the craziest thing ever. So we have like 5 holes left. And, I tell him, I'm like, now I start gamesmanship, you know? I'm like, man, you're playing like Paul McBeth out here. Like, I'm going after it, dude. I'm telling you, no, I went there. No, it gets worse. It gets worse. I'm not proud of this. But then, but I'm okay. So I'm like, okay, nothing. He laces this shot. I'm like, Jesus, this kid ain't going to quit, man. I'm going to lose this tournament. So then we go over there, and I'm sitting on this bench texting my buddy. Cause he's following the tournament, making fun of me, you know, he's like, and I'm like, dude, it's over, blah, blah, blah. Then I get up and I film the kid from behind the tree showing him like he's making all these putts, you know, and the kid sees me and he sees that I'm like, Phil, he whips it. And I'm like, oh no. And then, the wheels kind of came off. I birdied 4 in a row. We get to the last hole and we're tied. So I was down by 4 and we tie it up and I'm like, oh my gosh, like, how is this possible? He ended up double bogeying in the last hole and I birdie it. So I win by 3. But the point is I'll do anything to get a dub, my friend.
Wow.
Like, you don't want to come against me. Ouch. I don't care if you're 917 or freaking Paul McBeth. I'm coming after you.
Dang.
That's a true story. Cold.
That literally just happened.
It's
but
cold.
Afterwards, this kid was like the coolest kid ever. He was like, dude, I almost had you, man. And I'm like, oh, I know you did. And he was super stoked because it was, you know, he shot like 10, 20 golf. He's 919 or 917 rated.
I'm surprised you didn't go to the.
We're watching.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I'm surprised you didn't go to the, oh, you're up like, you know, you're up a couple with like three holes to go. This should be, you know, I'm surprised you didn't go to like the scorecard and actually like call out the score.
His buddies came, and then I heard him over there chatting with him, and he was like, yeah, I'm up two and we got two to play or something. And I remember thinking like, dude, this kid's unstoppable. Like he doesn't care. He wasn't kidding. Like he just didn't care.
There is sometimes something to be said, and no offense, because I don't know who this kid is, about kind of just stupidity, not understanding where you're at. Like you're just playing. You're not thinking. No, you're not
getting ahead of yourself.
You're not getting ahead of yourself. You don't care. Like you don't understand the situation enough. And clearly, you were in the situation. He's just like, I'm playing great. Boo! I'm beating Yuli. You know.
Yeah.
I truly
believe. We had
an
awesome card. I mean, we were joking the whole round and everything, but I was like, wow, I'm going to lose to this guy. Now it's not like I was just playing bad. That was the whole thing about it. Is I was like 8 under through 10. He was 8 under through 10. I'm still down by 3. And then he gets a birdie, and I'm 8 under through 9. He's or 8 under through 11, and he's 9 under through 11. I'm like, dude, this guy's unstoppable. Like, how is this possible? But it just goes to show you that like, there's so many good players. It's one of the things about the growth of the game. Like that would have never happened when I was touring back in the day. And that's why I liked going to all those tournaments, because I could just get little easy C-tier snacks is what I called them and get a little extra money, you know. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, like, I just decided, hey, I'm going to throw it back and play a C-tier this weekend, and a 919 rated or 17 rated player takes me to the, you know, the 18th hole tied. It's just crazy. There's so much talent out there. So I'm not going to play any C tiers for a while, bro.
He chased you away.
Chased you out of the C tier.
Yeah, he's good to go, dude.
Yuli's like, hey, you know I'm the team captain, right? Of Discraft.
Yeah, I see you're carrying a mixed bag, and Wow. Yeah. That's why they say, you know, that's why you play them, you know, ratings only mean so much to some degree. And sometimes some people, can psych themselves out or, have an inflated sense of confidence of like, oh yeah, this should be easy pickings. And 9 out of 10 times it might be, or 9.8 times out of 10, it will be, until, you know, somebody decides to have their best day and takes you by surprise.
Yeah. That's
pretty crazy.
Do you know, I mean, I think I don't recall the number of the people on your list, so to speak, in the 5,000s of number of people you've beat. Do you know who number two is and how far behind they are?
I think it's Dave Fellberg.
Okay.
That would make sense. Again, very well-traveled, international otherwise, and a ton of events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's leading in the most elite series played, and he's now second in that category.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, then you should catch him for Elite Series this year, because I don't imagine him playing many.
Yes.
And here's a question: that number, the 5,000, whatever, is anyone going to ever beat that? Do you think it's going to be? I mean, you played so many events, and it's not like the money, like Paul McBeth and Ricky and Kristen Tatar just broke 100,000. That great. Yeah. That's cool. We're going to see it beat next year. Is your number going to be beat? Because we don't see a lot of these phenomenal players hit all these B tiers anymore. It's almost unheard of. I mean, you've got people, a few of them like Andrew Fish, maybe, that does a lot of traveling, and a couple of guys like that. But I have to wonder if that number is going to get touched.
I don't know. Not with as much as I play, you know, because I still play all the Elite Series. I play the majors. Mm-hmm. I sneak in a couple here and there. I don't plan on slowing down as far as that goes. So it'd be tough to catch me, honestly. All records are meant. I don't even consider that a record. That's just
an interesting.
You beat more players
than
anybody. It's a stat. It's an interesting stat that it would be tough to accumulate that many people to beat, just because. But who knows? Maybe our fields get bigger, and then it's easier to where you have 400 people in a field or something, and you could get, you know, to that quickly. But
I just feel like our best players are playing against the same guys every week. Like,
yeah,
you can play, you know, Gannon Burr is going to play a bunch of big events next year and beat a total of, you know, 190 different people, because 110 of them are the same, you know, every year.
I feel like if somebody...
I'm sure Schwebe doesn't have that number.
And I just said that in the chat, but Schwebe also, again, largely regional, and he's beating a lot of the same people, you know, whoever comes into the Carolinas.
So did you go up to the 917 guy and be like, 5,251?
Check. That's when you're like, hey, bitch list, yep, gotcha. Thanks for playing.
I left it alone, man. I was out of there.
Yeah, you got out there.
My friend was like, I can't believe you did that. And I told him, I'm like, I'm going to sleep like a baby. I got my win for the year, dude. This is going to be the best I've ever slept.
So is that better or worse than looking at your watch and pretending like you're timing one of his shots, even if you weren't? Is
if he
filming
was taking time? I would have called him on it, man. I was coming after that.
You could have bought the new Nico stopwatch. Okay.
But I was going to say, if like a Barsby or something just went like on a world tour and decided to go to like, you know, Spain and all these different places with tournaments and stay there for a while, I'm sure they could accumulate a lot of new people, because there's a lot of places overseas that is growing and that I've never been to. I've never played in Canada. That's something that I want to do. Actually, I have. I was wrong about that. So can't go there.
They just won't let you come back. International travel out, you know, and outside of the obvious, like European Open or Kona Piste or any of those, like, is there any kind of unique travels on the horizon for you?
I want to get to Spain. Okay. I want to get to Spain for some disc golf. I mean, that's where my family's roots are. That's where Ullabarri comes from. Basque in the mountains. I really want to get to Spain. I don't know if it's going to be for disc golf or just for fun, but Spain is somewhere that I would like to for sure play disc golf, whether it be a tournament or not. But then, you know, Finland, the regular stuff. If I have opportunity to go to those places, yeah, definitely going. Okay. But I don't have anything like planned to go. You know, I've never been to Australia. That's another place that I'd like to go eventually. Mm-hmm. That was one of the majors that I missed a few years back.
I know the EPT has their all-star event in Spain, I believe, every year now. Or they have it last year.
It just happened, yeah.
Yeah, they had it last year, in November. I hate to say last year. It's literally not this year yet. Like a month ago, and they do plan on having it next year. So maybe you can all-star your way into that one, too.
Yeah, just fan vote me, dude.
That's right. Or you could just go and do media stuff or hang out or, you know.
Yeah, whatever. No, I'd love that for sure.
It could be fun.
Yeah, I think, of course, part of what prompts that is I think of Nate Perkins and James Conrad and Pierce and Hokum. A couple of them very specifically have been to Thailand. I know Ricky's been over there, Philo, you know, Barsby, Nico. Yeah. And I just think of some of those more, you know, they're off the beaten path. Obviously, you're not going there and winning tens of thousands of dollars, but just some of those either slow season or off season, you know, extra events that are out there and available now. And I feel like those are going to become more and more popular as players are looking for a little, you know, release to go other places. So very cool. Yeah, Luke Butch is on the board. Butchie saying an easy A-tier win in Thailand. And I mean, I don't know.
A little snack?
Yeah.
A-tier snack?
That's an A-tier snack, yeah. We'll win you some bot. At least probably 8, 10, 12,000 baht on the line. I don't know. Something like that. All right, Yuli. I think we got a pretty good catch-up session here, and we really appreciate it.
Yeah.
No, I appreciate it, man. It's been a long time coming to get back and hang out with you guys. You guys are always so fun. Appreciate you having me on, for sure.
Of course.
One last question. It wouldn't be an interview with you without it. Are you still in any fantasy football leagues? Are you knocked out? Yep. Yeah.
You going to the big one?
You going to the championship, or is that 2 weeks for you guys?
No, that's 2 weeks. So okay. I won. I was in five. I got in four playoffs. I lost one playoff this last weekend, and then I'm still in for three.
Okay.
The big one, though, I just went against Avery Jenkins. Yeah, disc golf one. I went against Avery Jenkins this last week.
Oh, yeah?
Took him down, man. Poor, and Germs in that one as well. He lost, so he's gone. So I definitely need to mention that, because in our group chat, I was blasting him all night last night. Mm. I kept asking him, I'm like, you want me to, if you want, you can like watch, you can get on the app and watch us play, because
wow,
I'm going to be playing fantasy next week. And I was ruthless last night, but that's fantasy for you. If you get in a good group chat with your boys, like it can be like the funnest thing, because you just talk crap.
I know that league's been going on for a long time. I keep thinking how I need to get in on that somehow. So when next time somebody drops
the
out,
nation,
yeah, yeah,
yep,
that's one of the original ones. Yeah. Well, congratulations on that in general. I know I was in the playoffs in three leagues and I'm down to one now. So I lost two of them. So
oh boy,
still going. I got one going. But
Terry probably couldn't name
three Packer players, and he's a quote-unquote Packer fan.
Yeah, I mean, they won last night. That was a great game. It was a must-win game for us. You know, we were just really pulling it out. My boy Cobb, you know, really did some work out there. Anyway, yeah. Mm. On that note, well, again, Yuli, we've put out a few of your initiatives out there. I put them in the chat. Of course, we've been talking about them. I'll try and remember to put those also in links in the description of the video. Any final plugs for where, if people want to know all things Yuli, where should they be heading? Is there a good,
I mean, just most my frequented social media, spot? Yeah, probably YouTube is a good spot right now for sure. I got a lot of things, a lot of content on there, especially with the Vlogmas and stuff, some fun stuff. But One Yuli, so One ULI on Instagram, mm-hmm. and that's where I do most of my social media. I have a Facebook, but it's pretty much full, so if you didn't get in a long time ago, you're not getting in anytime soon. But that's it, man. I appreciate you guys.
All right. Awesome. Well, of course, love to you and everyone in your circle there, in that side of the country. And then we already know about all the amazing support and love and people, the rest of your family over out there in Arizona. I'm looking forward to seeing them. I feel like I get to see them as much as you do, which is a blessing for me as well.
Yeah.
Such a great group of people and humans over there. In fact, I was editing something your brother was in just last night, so I got some bonus content coming out as well.
Nice.
Some memorial MP40 coverage, which
good. I'll be able to see something. That's awesome.
Yeah, we're gonna have some. So, all right, pal. Well, we love you. We appreciate you joining us. Thank you for all the insights on the show. Also, how you wreck low rated players at C tiers. We love the pro
don't
insight.
Don't come
there.
At me like that, man. Put the fear in all those 9-15 rated players.
You'll show them.
This ain't no easy win.
Just tell me, he wasn't junior aged, was he?
Oh, he might have been.
Okay, Yuli laying the beat down. That's what he's got to do. Thanks for joining us. Have a great Christmas. Good luck in your fantasy leagues and have a great Christmas. And looking forward to seeing you in the new year. Talk to you later.
Have a good night, pal.
See you guys. Bye.
Oh, Yuli Berry.
That guy's all right.
I tolerate him.
It's always great to catch up with Paul.
And yeah, so much conversation, and I'll segue that right into some of the most recent hot topics that came out of today. We're still in a stage of a lot of people talking about the sponsors that they're departing from. And not necessarily new announcements. I know we made a joke a week or two ago about AB, or just last week, I think I reached out to him.
Or today.
Him and others talking about, they'll see new announcements coming out in the future as to where they're going. I'm gonna check, because I was actually waiting on a text or two to tell you the truth.
We saw this last year, actually, mm-hmm. where we were kind of like, oh, gosh, well, you know, people are asking, why don't you just announce? There is a huge value in that announcement video. Or that announcement, because if you're a manufacturer and you have your ducks in a row, you can announce and release discs immediately.
At the same time, you're saying?
I'm saying that's the best method. What I hate is like, cool, Anthony Barella signs with Terry Miller discs. Congratulations. Yep. You can get the Anthony Barella disc in 2 months when we have them all printed. Like, no.
Have them ready.
You need to have a stock ready right now, because when that announcement hits, that is the hottest point of the point where you will have everybody's attention. The fingers will be ready to click and purchase. We're not geniuses here for saying that, but let me just say, if You're a manufacturer and you're not doing this. You're going to miss out on sales. Get at least a run of discs, whether it's 1,000 or 5,000, whatever that is, ready for announcement. And so that's why we see players sometimes wait on announcements.
You know, we get those.
Last year we saw Cat wait an enormous amount of time because they wanted to make sure that they had a bunch of Katrina Allen gear and discs set up. So hopefully, you know, you're going to see some of your players who maybe don't, I don't say don't qualify, but maybe don't necessarily push the disc sales nearly as much, that they might announce right away without a disc. But if you're signing up what you feel is a premier player, you need to have that stuff set up right
now. Yeah, and even if it's not a premier player, like you're saying, it's at least an opportunity. You may think, you know, this player might be, we'll say, a mid-level player, but you may have a direct either affinity to the player and or the company that they're going to. So it does feel like a relatively warm sales call already when it's like, oh, so-and-so just moved there? Yeah, I needed to buy a new blank from them anyway, and it happens to have their stamp. Now is a good time. Yeah. So, yeah, all of that makes sense. I think the long and short of it is when you're looking for advice, essentially you're just saying what Snoop says. Drop it like it's hot. Just drop it like it's hot. That's all you have to do, and you'll be good to go at this time. Real quick on Katrina, as you just mentioned her a moment ago, this is definitely a tangent, but she was at the Viking football game I saw this weekend. The Vikings, I think they play football.
She's a Minnesota native.
Yes, and she was at the game during this
with Austin Hanum.
Yes, he the biggest watches comeback, the footballs.
Biggest comeback in NFL history. Came back from, I believe, what, it was 33 points at half. I think it was 30, maybe it was 33-0 or it was 30-0, but Vikings came back against the Indianapolis Colts to win, I think, 36-33, something like that.
I just know this isn't the first game that she was at and this year, but she had made a post saying, and I think, I don't care where you are in, well, I guess if you're on the bad end of that, maybe it's not quite as exciting, but to say you saw a game that, you know, is of that form of excitement, that level of excitement, I think
it's
pretty cool.
33-0. Thank you, Tim. I couldn't.
There we go.
I don't pay much attention to the Vikings.
Yeah, we're not real big Vikings fans here. Ever since Randy Moss and Randall Cunningham left, I don't know.
Randall Cunningham.
Yeah, is that a good poll? Thank you.
I
could name another one.
I would have gone a little
except for
sooner.
For that guy that beat his kids, Peterson, right? Adrian.
Adrian Peterson. I would have gone like a Dante Culpepper, but
Randall Cunningham was even way before him, right?
It was. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but he's primarily known.
I know
for
my
being
things.
He's primarily known for being an Eagle.
Yeah, I know.
But he did. I
buck
know,
the
I know,
trends
bro.
When it comes to sports nostalgia.
I know, bro.
Anyway.
That's like saying, oh, yeah, Andre Dawson when he was an Expo. Or,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
you're like, no, he was a Cub. But no. You're like, no, I'm a deep puller.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what they call me. All right. So in other news, and largely, I'm going to say, I feel like this is largely FPO centric in some of the announcements that we've seen very recently. It may have even already been last week, but we saw Maria Oliva made the announcement that she was going to be leaving Innova. She has not announced where she's going to go. Lisa Fakus today, just this morning, made the announcement. I was looking at the date to see if there's any other significance to it, but it's December 20th. She made the announcement, yes. I believe, for the first time just this morning, saying that she is going to be parting ways with Innova.
Is Lisa Fakus the highest rated FPL player that's made an announcement this year?
I think she'd have to go to the internet.
She's the highest profile so far that we've seen. Because she was, you know, she's a regular touring pro and a very solid player in general right now. So,
let me do a search. I'm just trying to think of who's all made it. I don't have a fancy chart in front of me, which would have been a good idea by now, to have some kind of fancy chart in front of me.
Oh, yeah. You need the fancy chart, Terry.
Kristen Owen. I'll just read through. I've simply sorted by current PDGA ratings. Tatar, no news. Owen, Page, Gannon, Salonen, Blumros, Valerie Mondahano, Katrina Allen, Haley King, Holland Hanley, Sarah Hokum, Kat Murch, Natalie Ryan.
Now, the rumors are Kat Murch is leaving, but we don't know that for sure yet.
I think you started that rumor. Macy Valadez, Ala Hansen, Jennifer Allen, Angela Chick-fry. She's listed on here.
Yeah, but she's not current. No. I did the same thing, but search for current. So
so far, I've been pretty good.
Lisa Fakus is, in theory right now, the highest rated player that we have heard an announcement from in the FPO field.
Yeah, so she made an announcement this morning. I saw hers first, and then just a little while later, I saw Stacey Ronsley say that she will be also hanging up her wings, as she borrowed that phrasing, or... Maybe others have said it as well. I know Cassie Sweeten said it just a few weeks ago. Also, since last week, I think I went on and on saying how shocked I was to hear of that from Cassie Sweeten, to see that she has then signed up and is part of Dynamic Disc. And she's made that announcement since last week. I'll just personally say from visiting there a few years ago, I know that her circle and people that she's around have been... largely trilogy based players. I think of a few of the top pros that I know from over there that she's either related to or married to or good friends with, a lot of trilogy based. So I made that immediate understanding. But yes, that's where she has landed. So best of luck to her, of course.
Some other players that we saw: James Proctor leaving Innova, Erica Stinchcomb leaving or being maybe left at the altar by Westside, depending on how you read into her post. Terry, do you think, so again, I know we talk about being old. Many years ago, we saw Prodigy make a huge splash, show up.
2013?
12, 13, yep.
13, I'm going to go with.
And we saw them sign a whole bunch of players. Now, granted, they were a lot of top players. Do you think we're going to see... And the only manufacturer that I'll even put out there is Lone Star. Do you think we're going to see kind of something similar from Lone Star with a, maybe not the impact of the top rated players, but maybe of the mid-tier players that we're seeing move and announce right now? Do you think we're going to see kind of something like that from Lone Star, where it's suddenly like, hey, here's our team. We've picked up 10 to 12 touring pros. Because, again, I don't think we're going to see the biggest names like we saw with Prodigy. Because at the time, the Prodigy move had almost all your top players, other than Paul Macbeth, go over to Prodigy. Do you think we're going to see something like that with mid-tier players and a Lone Star or a Clash this year?
Yeah, I think Lone Star has been either quietly or not so quietly, depending on which corner of the internet you're on, has been attracting and acquiring players. The question is, which ones specifically are they going to ultimately end up, and how many of them? But they're definitely out there attracting and acquiring these players right now. And some, you know, immediately you start thinking someone like a Maria Oliva, who has roots in Texas. You think Lisa Fakus with her roots in Texas, you know, as two that may or may not. Now, we all know. I mean, look at Yuli. He lives in Rock Hill, South Carolina, literally down the road from where Innova has its East Coast headquarters. And clearly he is not an Innova player. So there is still only so much to be said about that. Big Germ back in the day was once sponsored by Discraft and lived right there in Charlotte, you know, similarly. So just where you live doesn't necessarily, especially in this day and age, maybe years ago a little bit more, but not so much anymore. And so whether you're grasping at straws, wow, whether you're grasping at straws or not at that point, is to be determined if you're just trying to make that connection. Then you start thinking about it. To me, it's circle of friends connections. And I know we were giving a hard time to Yuli before, but if you look at someone like an Anthony Barella, who was largely dubbed, as we said, you know, a Paul Macbeth protege, had a lot of similarities, and then you knew that he was friends with the Uliberry family, so on and so forth. And then a good friend of his, Adam Hammes, is, you know, has now been on Discraft for a couple of years. You start to put some of these things together, and some of it just seems obvious or makes sense.
Just because something makes sense doesn't, you know, we gave Yuli a hard time, and that's where you and I both feel like AB will go, but someone could surprise us.
They could. They could be wrong.
I agree. But.
So I guess we'll see how that all shakes out. But yes, I think Lone Star is very much become a player in this conversation, has been a player acquisition. They have been right there in that conversation.
I'm going to continue and push some rumors that I've heard about Lone Star themselves. I know that they, obviously they're a newer company. They are, I believe they do injection molding, and they have some big contracts with some oil, with the oil industry down in Texas, which is why they can, we'll say, float their disc golf business temporarily while they build it up. So I know a lot of people are saying, like, how can they get all these players? And my understanding is that there was an article, I think Ryan Pilcher posted to it, or some quotes about how Lone Star is surprised that they didn't know that if they were going to do $30,000 in business, now they were doing $30,000 with one vendor, is I think what the quote was. So I think we're seeing that, you know, there is a, it's really funny because discs are pretty cheap to make, but making the discs isn't cheap. You need the machinery, you need the molding. You know, once you get that in place, the plastic itself isn't necessarily the most expensive thing. It's really the initial investment, really, where you need to pay things off. And as we know, Lone Star, if you want to, Yuli said it himself here, if you want to sell plastic, a lot of times putting a player's name on it is the way to go.
Yeah, and if you, as I was just going out to their site right now, you can see that right on the front page, at least right now, you see the Jackrabbit, a Nico LaCastro limited edition, and you see the Warbird, a Chandler Kramer Tour Series disc. You see those two that are listed right now, and I don't know if I see any other...
I don't think they have a team page, so to speak.
I don't see a team page at the moment. However, I'm guessing we're going to be seeing one very quickly. We see a Leah Sinigini disc out here and a Tanner Girard Tour Series disc out here as well. If you dig around a little bit on the site, you can find that. But I think we're going to see some of that expanding, and I think you're going to see a large splash and an announcement by a number of players here very soon is my guess.
I hope they take a photograph of them all in just a silhouette, all standing next to each other.
And then what? Post it.
Throwback from the Prodigy, the original Prodigy website, where you had, I think, like 9 or 12 players, and you could tell who they all were, but it was just a silhouette because it was a secret, so...
Not for us smarties.
Nope, we knew. We knew back in the day.
Yeah, we understood. We knew how that stuff worked. Okay, so those are a couple of the other ones. Also, as you just mentioned, what she said, I believe she stated in a surprising fashion to some degree, Erica Stinchcomb had said that she is no longer going to be with Westside Discs, and a little birdie told me that Erica has some, has some sponsorship things that waiting on some ink to dry, I think is the phrasing that she used. So I think we're going to see some announcement, which largely tells me that it probably didn't take long for someone to win her over, to immediately pick her up with her availability on that. So
we
wish her the best of luck as well.
Literally know zero about what's happening with Erica, but I think you and I kind of had a quick brief discussion before the show how I personally think that it would be maybe advantageous for someone like MVP to go after an Erica, assuming that they're keeping Madison Walker on, because I think the two of them have a very good chemistry with their two hot geese and the commentary, and to not have a manufacturer dichotomy between the two of them would be maybe useful for MVP's sake. You know, like, you know, as we saw Big Sexy having the Innova tie together, I think helped out. Having the two and having two MVP players could be advantageous for the branding of that. And I know nothing. I don't pay any bills.
You don't have to tell anybody.
Everybody knows
that you don't know.
Everybody knows that I don't know Jack. But in general, I feel like that would be I don't necessarily say a good fit, because I don't feel a particular fit with Erica. I don't know her very well personally, but that seems like a good tie to me. But who knows? I mean,
Again, there's something that where it might make sense, at least to the outside world. Does it make sense?
Correct.
Fully on the inside, I guess that's to be determined. But I think,
as I
a
say,
lot of companies would be incredibly lucky to have Erica.
She's a wonderful person. Yes. I've only chatted with her real briefly, usually just in passing, but can't say enough about how nice she seems.
So those are all things that we've seen. And then, interestingly enough, I think I learned about something new on the Disc Golf Pro Tour via someone else's post with regard to her sponsorship. So Carolina Halstead out of Idaho, who Yuli was just talking about a little while ago, or that area, had made a post about she wants to go on a tour. She has a silver tour card pass. And I was like,
I didn't know there was a silver tour card pass.
That's what I thought.
We knew about the tour card.
There is one, and she has it. So
is she the only one?
Yeah.
Like, did someone, like, let me tell
somebody
you.
Somebody duped her for just $29.99 a month. I can give you.
Listen.
No.
If you send me $400, I'll give you your silver pass.
No, so she said that her hard work has paid off. She has a 2023 tour pass, silver tour pass. She's excited. She's stressed out financially, blah, 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 but she wants to go on tour, and she's looking for support through her GoFundMe account. So that's one component. Congratulations to her. However, I then, because of her posting that, I was able to go to the Googles, where I see on dgpt.com/schedule-register-tour-pass, it says, in 2022, the Disc Golf Pro Tour launched the first tour card program for tour players, blah, blah, blah. For 2023, we've built on the initial pilot program, learning from challenges and implementing ideas from tour card holders and the Players Council. That sounds official. We're pleased to present version 1.0 of the 2023 tour card program. Please note that as we get closer to 2023 kickoff, there may be updates and so on and so forth. So, yeah, this is, I thought I didn't recognize it, and just like you, there's a reason why we didn't, because we didn't know about it. So that's out there. I'm going to actually put this in the chat while I'm at it, just if anyone else wants to look at it. Please let me know if you guys knew about this. I'm not saying I read every press release. I'm not going to BS anyone and claim that. So this very well might be old news, but until I saw Carolina's post saying that she had earned it, I didn't know that it existed. And so I'm learning tonight with you guys is really what I'm trying to tell you.
If I don't get a direct message from Mahmoud, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
he's my form of information.
So yes, that's out there. Silver, not as in older players, no, but silver as in I want to do a little bit. As a pilot program, the Silver Tour Card will be a limited exemption and benefit program that allows professional disc golfers who have not qualified for the full Tour Card program to have limited access to registration and benefits. Just it kind of, to me, I read that as you're like the next tier. Mm-hmm. The final details of this program will be separated from the tour card program. Registration for events via the silver tour card will happen separately. The DGPT will issue silver tour cards to 10 MPO and 5 FPO players who do not qualify for their full tour cards on a case-by-case basis from the exemption application, silver cards, blah, 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 in early December. So she's one of those five, apparently.
I hope they make her wear like a giant scarlet letter and all the pros like shun her, like just kind of mean girls.
Come on. She's like, already left-handed.
I'm sorry. You can't sit at this table. You know, you have to sit at the other table.
No. So nonetheless, because I am friends with her on Facebook, I saw the post and I wish her nothing but the best of luck. I just saw her most recently at the PLO, and it'd be awesome to see her if she's out there on tour. Sometimes when you do see her out there at some of the big events, I know she's pretty good friends with Owen Scoggins. You see her rolling in, and if you're in Owen's crew, you're in good company.
If you're rolling with Owen,
you're in good company, right? So again, best of luck. So that was something else I saw in the news today. And then two other quick things that were in the news before we wrap up the regular show. Ricky Wysocki jumping on the, you know, off-season content train, as he should be. I believe Gatekeeper is producing some stuff that worked with Ricky. I think the first set of that started to release yesterday as of December 19th is when we started seeing some of that. And then just today, and we glossed over it quickly, we saw some more information released about the Macbeth six-time disc that a lot of people are talking about. Sometimes I wouldn't go out of my way to make a special news announcement for something of that nature, but there's a lot of hype surrounding people that want a frisbee with six claws instead of five or four on.
I'll buy a bunch of them.
I will too, but I know. I'm a hoarder. So anyway, nonetheless, actually, there's a video. It kind of breaks down a little bit of history. There's going to be more videos. I love that they go out there and explain it, because it doesn't then leave it to question or speculation or something dumb that people like us might say. You can just go watch the videos for yourself. So I can very much appreciate that. One last note, this is a little bit more, definitely more local and regional, and it kind of leads to another question, you know, for you guys, is if you're familiar with these or have any part of these. But this weekend in Wisconsin here, we had what's called the Wisconsin Disc Sports Association Summit. It's really a collection of six or seven of us guys. A bunch of old guys and me not quite as old, but a collection of us that help. I don't want to say we're like the mini PDGA of Wisconsin, but I mean, for a lack of a better of analogy, that's even pushing it. We just kind of help guide is a word.
Sure.
We help guide or answer things that are happening within Wisconsin disc golf. I was the youngest addition to that board 20 years ago, so we've only gotten older since then. We did vote in some new board members, which was well overdue, including adding a couple of women to the board, which is awesome to see. And so we're going to have some fresh perspectives and different perspectives finally added to this group. And I guess my question to you guys is, are you familiar? Do you have something like that in your state
or region,
or even region? Yeah. And I, you know, we talked, you know, to Yuli earlier, who talked about, you know, the Charlotte club. That's one club that's, we'll say, for that area. And clearly it's a massive one and very successful, but is there any kind of state organization or even bigger collective group that oversees maybe all the clubs, or is some kind of a resource or an answer? That would be the thing I'd ask of you guys, if that happens in your state, and if you'd find that valuable or not. Because I think things like that and state-based Hall of Fames are becoming more popular. I think we're starting to see a lot more organization at the higher levels, which has its pros and cons for sure. So D. Lilo says, local news in Wisconsin, negative 50 wind chill coming. It is not going to be pleasant here for the next few days. And I know a lot of people across the country are getting some nasty weather.
There's an Arctic blast. There's an Arctic blast. And it looked like from the images that I saw that it was basically running from Idaho all the way to the East Coast down into Texas, where we're looking at, you know, nothing higher than like 30 degrees. For most places. And for us here, we're looking at single digits with 50 mile an hour winds. Should be a blast.
Time to go play some golf.
Time to get some golf in.
Yeah. Expose all that skin. Go get some golf. Okay. No skin exposure from this guy. Nobody wants that. We're going to close it out. Nobody wants or needs a longer show. We had Paul Uliberry. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was great to get caught up. Provide lots of insights, as we always cover plenty of different topics. So we appreciate all that. Thank you to all of our regulars who are out here on the board. Stick around, because of course during the after show, not only are we going to talk more about random things, but we'll also have a giveaway. And
some disc golf discussion to talk about.
We know how much you love giveaways and random discussions, so don't go anywhere. We're going to stand down for just a few moments, take a quick break, reset the show. We'll be right back. You step inside the Smashbox.
Thank you to our $2 and above patrons. Your name is listed below in the credits. If you are interested in being listed as a producer in the Smashbox TV credits and supporting this and other fine podcasts, please visit patreon.com/smashboxtv.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.